Hello. Thank you. I'm Reverend Bonnie Rose, the technically challenged Reverend Bonnie Rose, and this is the Ventura Center for Spiritual Living, and it is great to see you here. We are a cathedral of kindness and a center of mystical non-duality, and we're just here to celebrate life and to celebrate you, whether you're here in person in the sanctuary or whether you are watching us from home. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our friend, Brock Travis. He's going to enlighten us further.
Oh, boy. You remember wondering what the pandemic would do to the community?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in our case, it has given rise to kindfulness. Kindfulness, it's on a sign out in the front. And it sounds like an integration of mindfulness and kindliness. And you come here in the morning, and you see it, and you feel it. It's all around, and we found ways to be safe and good, and it's amazing. It's a miracle, so welcome. Welcome to the miracle. If you're out there in television land watching, consider visiting, because it's really quite warm and good here.
Thank you, Brock. Appreciate it. Thanks. And now we're going to hear from Bill Hedris, who is one of our people in Youth and Family. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Bill Hedris with Youth and Family, and I would like to invite any children out there to come down if you'd like to.
Oh,
I've got one.
Garrett. Hi, Garrett.
Please have a seat. Enjoy this.
I think, what are you?
So, did you know you can have a positive impact on the world right now, today?
Yes.
And did you know that positive impact you can create comes from inside of you? Mm-hmm. And that it's a simple and easy to start with just two words. Who knows those two magic words? Little pinky, maybe. You just have to say, thank you.
Oh.
Right? When you say thank you for all the things that bring you joy, even the tiniest bits of joy, you can feel your heart get warmer, and that loving energy flows and radiates out of you. As it radiates out, it ripples to other people, and their hearts get a little warmer, and then it ripples out from them. So start each day by saying thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this pen. Thank you for this microphone. Thank you for these wonderful friends and family. So I invite you to repeat after me. Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you for this youth and family person, Bill. Yes. Thank you. The face of God. Okay, good. All right, so another face of God over there is Peter, our practitioner, and he's going to lead us in prayer.
I'm going to invite the practitioners to stand up and the ministers. And I'm going to take a moment before I take off my mask just to look into the eyes, the I am presence of each and everyone here. And can I now, from now on, take off my mask mindfully, consciously, with kindness, with thanks, with the absolute presence of the I am that is. And so I invite you to close your eyes now and to go into that I am presence that is deep within your own soul, your own being, your own presence, your own heart. And it is from that place that I say this prayer, these words. Knowing my one divine connection with all of creation, with the sun rays, with the splashes of the ocean waves, with the sand and ground beneath my feet, I am one with all, as each of us are one with all. And from that place, I pray for this service and for everyone here and everyone watching that we connect with that divine union, that divine presence, that divine I am. Knowing that today is unfolding in mystical, magical, and beautiful ways that we could never, ever imagine. Just breathe that in with mindfulness, with kindness, with love. And from that place, I give thanks for today. Thanks for the songs that are sung, the laughters, the words that are spoken. And with a grateful and thankful heart, I release these words into the law, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you, Peter. And so as we sit back down and continue to breathe deeply, we feel our hearts and our minds, our beings, our bodies, our muscles relax. Anything that we were clenching and holding on to, just letting go. Moving into the beautiful spaciousness that we were reminded of through Peter's prayer. And we allow ourselves to rest there in faith and in glory, glorifying the oneness that is, glorifying that which loves us beyond measure, that inner sacred presence that is both inner and outer, that is both above and below, that is everywhere, in the small and the large, in every detail of our lives. And as we rest in this awareness, as we breathe and know that every breath is sacred, let us listen to the words of our sacred reading.
I'm always with you. If you have questions, day-to-day questions, as I know you do even now, and will continue to, know that you can call on me to answer them. You do not need the form of this book. This is not the only way I speak to you. Listen to me in the truth of your soul. Listen to me in the feeling of your heart. Listen to me in the quiet of your mind. Hear me everywhere. Whenever you have a question, simply know that I have answered it already. Then open your eyes to your world. My response could be in an article already published, in the sermon already written and about to be delivered, in the movie now being made, in the song just yesterday composed, in the words about to be said by a loved one, in the heart of a new friend about to be made. My truth is in the whisper of the wind, the babble of the brook, the crack of the thunder, and the tap of the rain. It is the feel of the earth, the fragrance of the wind, the fragrance of the lily, the warmth of the sun, the pull of the moon. My truth, your surest help in time of need, is as awesome as the night sky and as simply, incontrovertibly trustful as a baby's gurgle. It is as loud as a pounding heartbeat and as quiet as a breath taken in unity with me. I will not leave you. I cannot leave you. For you are my creation and my product, my daughter and my son, my purpose and myself. Call on me, therefore, wherever and whenever you are separate from the peace that I am. I will be there with truth, with light, and with love.
Because God has a sense of humor, we are having technical difficulties. Oh, goodness. How wonderful it is to see the joy and the perfection and the imperfection in the beauty of the reading and in the mishap of the microphone. Because, dang it, I knew I turned it on before I got onto the stage. Oh, and so we just breathe into this beautiful awareness, into this grace, and just know that grace is in everything. As it's said in the reading, it is in the gurgle of a baby. It is in the waves rushing back and forth. The goodness of spirit is everywhere. And one of the many names of spirit is I am. I am is the way. I am is the truth. I am is the life. I am is the vine. And we are the branches. And so as branches of that divine vine, let us converge together in remembrance. As we sing together and remember the I Am presence, another name for consciousness, another name for God, another name for love, another name for everything, I invite you to gently place your mask over your nose and mouth. And sing together gently into your mask. I am remembering who I am.
I am.
We rest in that precious presence of remembrance. Really feeling it in our bodies. Really feeling that wholeness, that inward view that welcomes everything, that embraces everything, that transmutes everything without effort, but simply through its embrace. And in that spaciousness, let us breathe in deeply and then exhale, gently opening our eyes in the spirit of love and in service to what is, as it is, and so it is. Namaste.
You're the best reader I've ever heard. I actually submitted that beautiful quote from Conversations with God. I knew you would do a beautiful job of it, but what I didn't realize was I was going to start sobbing like a baby. So gets me every time. Thank you so much. This is my husband, Greg Sims. He's accompanying me on the first song we ever wrote for Neil Donald Walsh, based on his writings.
One Sunday morn, not long ago, I walked into the wood. I went to to find what peace I could. Oh, there I left a trail of crumbs. It seemed I lost my way. The twists and turns had left me numb in living day to day. When you're feeling down and out, when your mind is filled with doubt, and you don't know what life's about, go within or go. Choose which path to take, as seekers often do. Although the choice was mine to make, my indecision grew. I called for help from God above to guide me. Go.
you so much. Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Don't mind me while I get organized up here. I was just telling Kenny, I love it when things go wrong. You know, it's super fun. There's so much comedy in the mishaps of life, and not only in the mishaps of life. I think comedy is the source of much of our, the source of comedy is the things that we sort of fall short on. You should have seen Kenny in the back. I hope you weren't watching him in the back, but I asked him to fix my mic, so he took it and he went like this. Oddly, that did not work. So here I am with this mic, and I feel kind of cool. I feel kind of like I don't really know who does this. Maybe Elvis, but maybe I should at some point like take that'd be great. Maybe while you're speaking, say what? I can do a mic drop too. Yes, yeah. So be sure to say something really shocking, so I can do a mic drop. Anyway, I actually didn't plan much of an introduction for Annie, but for those of you who don't know, Annie's been singing here off and on for years, and because of COVID, we haven't seen her for a while, because a lot of singers just were kind of staying close to home. But what you may not know about Annie is that she was very closely associated with Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the reading that Hugh read, and he also wrote a series of very famous books called Conversations with God, and then several other books on top of that as well. So he's really a renowned New Thought speaker, and she has a whole story about how she got acquainted with him, and I thought it might be interesting for us to learn not only about some of his teachings, but also about her connection with him and how that came about and how miracles work in very strange ways for all of us all the time. You know, and that's, as I was listening to your song, Annie, I was just thinking about really how amazing and how beautiful life is, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of whatever we might be carrying in here, any struggles, any pain, any grief, but there is still this underlying current of beauty that just infuses everything. So I think we're going to hear some more about that today. So let's put our hands together with some Ventura love and welcome Annie to the stage. And you are welcome to take your mic off, your mask off on stage if you like. And if you want to take your mic off too, Kenny can shake it and fix it.
Check. Test. Are we
there
on?
You go. You
oh,
are on.
Goody. I haven't worn one of these in a minute.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for the warm welcome, as always. This is my favorite spiritual center in Southern California.
Yeah.
It is.
Beautiful.
Truly.
You know, I hear that a lot from the singers that come here.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, and I think it has to do with Chris and David.
Oh, yeah, your Don't meditation you music,
yeah.
too.
yeah, I think that's the reason.
I am
awesome.
A big crybaby. I cry at the drop of a hat. But in here, I'm always moved to tears. I'm just moved here. It's a feeling of you all are just awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're only an hour away now that we live in Santa Clarita.
Yeah, that's good. That's wonderful. So we're going to jump right in because, you know, you've got some good stuff to say, and I want to make sure that we get to most of it.
Okay.
Annie and I talked for about 2 hours on the phone the other day, so we won't be going
to talk to her all day.
Yeah, yeah. So now we were going to just jump right in with your story of how you got connected with Neil Donald Walsh, but you wrote to me yesterday, I think it was, and said that prior to your experience with him, that you were a bit of a non-believer.
Oh, much. So
yes, so tell us about that. Tell us how you went from non-believer to what you are now. Are you
Conversations with God, Book 3 was it. Mm-hmm. I had been raised in the Episcopal Church, which was so loving, and I really loved it. But when I went to college, over 4 years, university, my faith was stripped away somehow. And I was very agnostic. Sorry, I've got mask stuff all over my lips. I was going happily along, but, you know, there's always a little something missing, a God-shaped hole, as Karen Drucker and Stowe call it. And so my sister, my older sister, she is certifiably Mensa. She graduated from University of Tennessee on her 20th birthday with high honors. That's how smart she is. And when she said, I want everyone in my family to read Conversations with God, I'm like, God, Schmod, I don't believe in God. So I was very...
May I stop you?
Yes.
God, Schmod.
Yeah.
Anybody related? God, Schmod. Love it.
So, well, she had a baby. So I flew out to Dallas to be with her with the new baby. And the night before I was going to fly back to, we were living in, Greg and I were in Orlando at the time, she padded out of her bedroom in her robe and slippers with book three in her hand. By now the third book was out. And pushed it into my hands and said, just pick a page, any page, and just read one. That's all I ask. I'm like, whatever. So I looked at it, and one paragraph, my eyes went, bing! It's like the cartoon, wah! And I said, wow. And she said, I told you. And I said, can I take this to bed with me? I stayed up all night reading her copy from wherever the heck that was. Well, she took me to the airport in Dallas the next day, and this was pre-9/11 where they could drive you right to your gate. So there just happened to be, she dropped me off, there happened to be this Native American apparel and jewelry store, and I picked out a couple of things, and I went to pay for them. The only book in the store on the checkout counter was a display of Conversations with God, book three. I said, I'll take that. Yeah. So I went back on the plane from page one, and that was it. I went back and got the other two, and Nancy and I were just the whole time, can't wait for the next one. He's got a lot of books. He's got a couple dozen books, really.
Yeah. Do you remember what the content of the page was that made you go...
No, and if any of you have not read any of those books, just try Her Dare and just pick a page, any page. It doesn't matter what it is.
It's
the truth I'd always felt but could not voice into words, and that's, they've been translated into 38 languages.
Wow.
The book one was on the New York Times bestseller list for 2.5 years.
Yeah. So Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, and what you said about the truth that you've always felt for years but have never been able to articulate. I think that a lot of people here that I've heard, that they come to me and they say, you know, what you teach in this church or what the New Thought teachers teach is really something that we've always believed, and we just haven't really found a place that where they actually say it out loud. So
it takes bravery.
It does, yeah, because you're up against a lot of tradition, and it's an interesting place to be.
Yeah.
But enough about that. I would like to hear, so you read the books, mm-hmm. you were clearly divinely guided through the work of your persistent sister. And
yeah, persistent and sister, yes. Good one, yeah.
That's a good name for a punk rock band.
I love it.
Yeah, your persistent sister, and then that miracle of seeing it at the airport, in this huge airport, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Hub of American Airlines,
and there it was. So you've read the books, you like it, and then what happened? How did you go from there to going to a place where you were actually an employee, basically, right?
Independent contractor
of Neil Donald Walsh.
Well, it was another miracle. Okay, so I put the tail end of the quote, where it starts with the whisper of the wind, I am the whisper of the wind, the battle. I actually got permission from the publisher to include that in the liner notes of my first country album, because I wanted to share that message, said excerpt from Conversations with God. And then I did another country album. By this time, Greg produces, they're beautiful albums. I got inspired to wake up in the night to the lyrics to Go Within. And I just... had to get out of bed at 4:30 in the morning. I wrote them down. They came really fast.
And that's so the song you just sang, Go Within.
The one
right?
I just sang, right. Yeah. Because there's a quote from CWG that says, if you do not go within, you go without. So Greg, being a wonderful composer for film and television, I asked him to put them to music. Well, he had written a theme, a beautiful piece, 2 weeks prior that I had not heard. And you actually forgot it because you were driving, right? And then but it came, you said, oh, that piece came back to me, but I still hadn't heard it. So when he put my lyrics with that piece he'd written 2 weeks earlier, it was a mesh perfectly. All we did was change one chord from its major to minor or minor to major, I forget which, but, and like, this is gorgeous. So we put it on the end of our second country album, and unbeknownst to me, my manager sent it to Neil with a letter, saying, I wish you knew how much my client absolutely loves your work. And then he just called and said, want a tour?
Neil called and said, you want a tour?
Yeah. Yeah. Greg, can I tell that part? He's like, are you going to tell that again? Okay. Well, I was down in the dumps that day because I had just listened to John Kerry's concession speech after the whole rigmarole in Florida, which is where we lived, and very, very down because I'm like, I don't want 4 years of war, blah, blah, blah. I come home, and my dearly beloved husband walks out of his studio holding the cordless phone, and I looked at him. He was white as a sheet. I'm like, what's wrong? And he said, look at the caller ID. And it was Walsh, Neil Donald.
So. Neil Donald Walsh called you.
Amazing.
At your home.
Yeah, and so then he said he called. He loves your music. He wants you to tour them. He's going to call back tomorrow. And he did. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty damn cool.
You said damn in church.
Oh, I've said worse.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. Just ask those guys back there. I've heard a lot.
Yeah. The dogs heard it all right.
Yeah, the dogs heard it all. She hears it the most. Yeah. Yeah. So Neil Donald Walsh called you at home. He had your number, and he called you at home, and then you went on tour, and then what happened?
Well, so Greg and I traveled with him for 5 weeks in 8 countries overseas, and it didn't take me long before I went diving for a pen and a notepad. I started writing down all these notes, and it just completely was amazing experience. I got back to Orlando, and one of my agents, I was doing piano bars, he said, oh, we had Neil Donald Walsh come speak at our church. I'm like, I'd like to know what kind of church that is, and it was the Center for Spiritual Living in Orlando. So I started going there. And then we went to a year-end retreat. I was feeling I need another Neil fix. And mm-hmm. He asked Greg and me to start facilitating his retreats. And when I facilitated the first one in Baltimore, I'm in the back of the room and he's announcing the staff. And he said, and this is Annie Sims in the back of the room. She's working toward becoming a presenter of this material. And I'm like, my fan club president was there. And she turned around and looked at me. I'm like, it's news to me. But it's kind of like when E.F. Hutton talks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I did. And then one thing led to another and another. And then he asked Greg and me to write a song for his book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything. So we did that. And it was included in the back of a signed and numbered series of the book, the CD was. And then one day he asked me to be a Conversation with God life coach, and he only has 4.
Well,
he's had 5, and it kind of goes between 4 and 5. And so I started working with him in the spiritual mentoring program. Then he asked me to write the lessons for an online school, and I titled it Wisdom That Works. And he said, I want you to write a lesson on each of the 25 core concepts with homework questions. And the last thing he said before we hung up the phone, I was like, that sounds great. He said, this will someday become a book. Mm. And it took a number of years, but it is now a book. And I've written a postscript for each of those lessons, plus what I call quotes from the voice, where students and life coaching clients from around the world have shared messages with me, downloads they've gotten, and I've applied them to chapters in the book.
Mm, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You know, when we talked on the phone, we talked a little bit about the crux of his teaching, Neil Donald Walsh's teaching, and you mentioned, I believe, 3 things. So can you tell us what those 3 things are?
Well, yes, and okay. As I said, there are 25 core concepts, but the top 3 mm-hmm. that he calls the 3 statements of ultimate truth are, we are all one with a capital O, mm-hmm. there's enough, and there is nothing you have to do. Mm.
Nothing
you have to do.
Yeah, well, now we'll get to that one because that one confused me a tad. We'll get to that one. But, you know, I think I want to start with, let's talk a little bit about the thing about there is enough, because what I hear most of the time as a minister, and also like when I'm just not even as a minister, just when I'm running around talking to people or when I listen to the news or what have you, I hear this great prevalent belief in scarcity. And can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I think most, if not all, of the wisdom teachings say that God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, and God is omnipresent. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everything. Mm-hmm. In every cell, in every speck, in everything seen and unseen, there is no spot where God is not. So logic follows, if everything is God, does God lack anything? I don't think so. God is prime source, and it's never-ending supply. Mm-hmm. And so are we, to the extent that we know it. But it takes a lot of mental work to get there, a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. Ongoing sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get there and then we'll fall back into a little bit of scarcity consciousness. And then we'll get there again and we'll fall back in. Or something else will happen. But as Neil says, in Conversations with God says, life is circular. Mm-hmm. And Neil calls it reliable repetition. It'll keep coming around for us until we really, really root out what is called the sponsoring thought. And we can say over and over at the level of mind and on the surface, we'll get, oh, yeah, there's enough. But deep down, what we get back, reflected back to us, is what our sponsoring, the thought behind the thought behind the thought mm-hmm. is. And a lot of us have a lot of work to do to root out scarcity consciousness, especially if we were raised in a family that believed in it, mm-hmm. for example.
Mm-hmm. So there is a sponsoring thought, and by that, and again, if I'm not as familiar with his brand of teaching as you are, but would that be something that's buried deep in the subconscious that you don't even know that you're thinking?
I would say probably yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you might have to work pretty hard to figure out.
You haven't admitted it to yourself, yeah. Anybody ever done that? Had a thought that they haven't admitted to themselves? Anne Lamott says, you have a thought that's so bad that it makes Jesus want to drink gin out of the cat dish. Right? Yep. Been there. Not only the cat dish, but the cat box, if you really want to get it. That's a lot of gin, as far
that
as I'm
clump
concerned.
Of gin.
Yeah.
That
yes. Yeah, don't get me started on clumping gin. Whole story about that. Yeah. So there is a sponsoring thought, and I guess I would imagine that. That, you know, Rumi also said that life is a mirror, you know, I think it's Rumi, God is like seeking, I hope I'm getting this poem right, somebody over there might correct me if I'm wrong, but but that God is looking for something to give us, and he's already given us everything, but the one thing he can really give us is a mirror, and that's life, and we look into that mirror of life and we see where we're out of alignment with the truth of our existence, with the truth of our innate holiness, and the truth of our innate holiness that sometimes we can define as the truth of our innate abundance that is just always, as you said, it's omnipresent, so it's always there, it's in every cell, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I know that when we spoke on the phone, you said that Neil offered several tools to help us cultivate that
Can you go get my book, please?
Yeah, I was wondering where your book was.
Yeah, I meant to bring that up here with me. Yeah. Actually, these were the tools that I came up with for that chapter. Is that what you wanted to go over?
Yeah. But while he's getting your book, let's talk about the one about the giving and the receiving. You can get in. What? The doorknob's not there? See, it's one of those Sundays.
This is a great day.
This is one of those Sundays, which is so perfect. It means that God or somebody is doing mischief behind the scenes.
Well, Conversations with God said what, and it's funny, y'all. There are funny lines. It's a dialogue, question, answer. And sometimes what God comes out with is really funny. Mm-hmm. And Neil said, I think you're supposed to be more serious than this. And God said, well, where do you think humor comes from?
Yeah, humor comes from God, absolutely. And so do mishaps in church. And try doing a funeral, man. There's like a lot of humor at a funeral, if you would. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to tell us.
Oh, thank you.
There are some tools for what we might say addressing some of the beliefs in scarcity that we might have, some of those sponsoring thoughts that you talked about.
Yes. So one thing that Conversations with God says is if there's anything more that you want, anything you want more of in your life, be the source of it for another. Then you realize you had it all along.
So you give it away.
Yeah.
Can you tell that story about the gas station?
Yes.
Tell the story about the gas station.
Yeah. Yes. There was a gal in my online school named Cynthia in Atlanta who one of the assignments in here is do a random act of kindness. So she decided her random act of kindness was going to be to buy somebody's gas, a stranger at the gas pump. So she goes to the first gas station And that story's in here, by the way, in what I call the voice, one of the voice quotes. And no one was there. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go to a different gas station. And she did, and she decided, okay, I'm going to pull in here. And a lady pulled up behind her, and she's like, so she smiled at the lady, and the lady smiled back. She said, that's a good sign. So she went up to her, and she said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but can I buy you gas? And the lady, at first, she was shocked. She goes, what? Why? And Cynthia said, I'm dedicating this month to kindness month. A random act of kindness. And the woman's eyes got really wide. She said, really? And Cynthia goes, yes, really, really. I really want to. And the lady just burst into tears, put her hands together in prayer, and looked up to the sky and said, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And she told Cynthia that she's been helping her, had been helping her mother out who was very ill, helping her out financially, and had been so hard on her, and she had just checked her bank balance, and she only had $10 in the bank. And so they started hugging each other and crying, and Cynthia, the way she tells it, it's just beautiful. And she said, so she was my gift, and I was hers. So it's that giving and receiving. It takes two.
Yeah, it does. You know, and that's one of the things that we are delving into here more as we mature through this pandemic. It seemed like we had one of two ways to go. We could either mature through it or throw a tantrum about it. I'm choosing the former. I hope all y'all are choosing to mature through the pandemic, but to mature spiritually. It felt like one of the things we needed to do was to get more into the mysticism of the teaching, more into what I would call the mystical non-duality. And after hearing you tell me that story a couple of days ago on the phone, I just have been so struck with this idea that the mystical presence that is within us, the one that is in the reading that Hugh was talking about, that it knows nothing. It does not know a difference between giving and receiving. So that if we are giving, it's the same thing as receiving. And if we are receiving, it's the same thing as giving. And sometimes our ego will get in the way and it'll start doing all kinds of what I call sin shenanigans. Our ego will start doing all kinds of shenanigans and telling all kinds of stories like, oh, you're giving too much, or you shouldn't be giving that away, or, you know, you're receiving too much and that you don't really deserve that. But really, giving and receiving is the same cycle of good, and spirit does not know the difference. And what if in our aspiration to be that place of oneness where God is all the time and where our awareness of God is much more fully present than it is under regular circumstances. What if we really knew that everything that we give is really receiving and everything that we receive is really giving? Or not really, but it's both. All giving and receiving are the same. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world to live in? Can you imagine how that would change everything?
It would solve everything.
It would solve everything.
So would the first concept, if everybody lived, we are all one.
Yeah. So go tell them. Not them. I mean,
go tell it all.
There you go.
Man.
Yeah. Go. Well, and I believe that is the message of the Christ, by the way, but not everybody sees it quite that way, right? Yeah. Yeah. So let's, because we don't have that much time, I do want to hear more about that message of we are all one.
You want to hear more of that instead of the steps to
Us the steps, and then we'll hear the message
of all
one. Well,
I just had these five action steps, and this was, so that was actually the voice quote in this chapter on There's Enough, yeah. Cynthia's story.
So just to clarify for everyone, in case anybody got lost in that little homily that I just gave, we're talking about
There's Enough,
and five ways to manifest that experience in your consciousness of enoughness.
Yeah, okay, so, and I just wrote them how they came through. So, with all these assignments and the whole thing, actually, decide to feel, then express more love to someone in your life, mm-hmm. be it a spouse, partner, relative, friend, or even a beloved pet.
Yeah, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Number two, decide to give more money away to a person in need or a charity of your choice. Number three, decide to help someone who would benefit from it. Number four, decide to give more of your time to someone who would appreciate spending more time with you. Number five, decide to offer a random act of kindness to a stranger. And notice that all five of those started with one word. What was it?
decide.
Yeah, life proceeds out of our intention for it. It all starts with a decision.
Life proceeds what?
Out of our intention for it.
Okay. Life proceeds out of our intention for it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure everybody here speaks Southern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then make a decision and line up with it.
Yeah. No, that was good. It was just
okay.
Your accent. did you know you have an accent?
You have an accent.
I know. That's what my...
Hey, I love you said all y'all are me.
Yeah, I said all y'all. Yeah, that's what I tell my my Canadian in-laws. I'm like, I just love your cute little accents. And they're like, what accents? What are you talking about? Eh?
Boot.
Yeah.
Boot.
Right. So all of that is a decision. And what I also noticed about, too, okay, you decide, but you decide not to hold on. You decide to let it flow through you.
Yeah.
And that is such a basic metaphysical principle. Neil Donald Walsh is not the only one who said that. Many, many teachers, including Ernest Holmes, the founder of this religion, say it. I say it. Do we do it all the time? Not so much, right? I don't. Sometimes when I'm feeling scarce, I just want to hold on and cling and not let go. And boy, it can be as simple as just going for a walk and breathing and taking care of yourself.
It really has to do with fear.
Yeah.
And afraid there's not going to be more where that came from.
Yeah.
But Neil said one thing his father would always say to him, there's more where that came from.
There's more where that came from?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
And trust, trusting the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust.
Yeah. Trust beyond appearances. Our speaker last week, one of my beloved friends, Mark, was talking about, how sometimes it feels like prayer isn't being answered in our timeline. And I was thinking afterwards, like, how... You know, we are taught to not judge others by their appearances. If they look differently than us, or if they speak differently, or if they're a different size or a different shape or a different ethnicity, that we're really, like, good people are taught not to judge people by their appearances. But we leave out that part about judging life by its appearances.
That's a great point.
So often we judge life by its appearance and say, this is no good because this doesn't look like the way I think it should. When really, what if it's just something that's unfolding? You know, it's like if you're planting a bulb and a little tiny shoot is poking up and you don't, this is the first bulb you've ever planted, and you say, well, that's not really a very great flower. I'm pulling that stinker up. I was going to say a worse word. I'm pulling because you're here. It's your fault. I'm pulling that stinker up, and that's judging by appearances. The prayer may be unfolding, or the abundance may be unfolding while we're still in the phase of making our decisions and choosing to give rather than cling, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm keeping an eye on the time. We don't have that much time left, but say just a few words about we are one, if you would. We are all one.
We are all one with a capital O. Well, Conversations with God goes back to the primal. You talked about the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, that God was all there was in the realm of the absolute. And it knew itself to be magnificence and love, but there was nothing other than in the realm of the absolute than love and magnificence and beauty. And so God, according to this, the teachings and Conversations with God, God created the realm of the physical so that it could come into physicality and experience what it knows about itself. So if you look at it like a figure eight or the infinity symbol, mm-hmm. figure eight on its side, the realm of the absolute, the realm of the relative, relativity, the realm of the spiritual, the realm of the physical. And this point in the middle is birth and death, and it's just a doorway that goes between the two. And so when we as aspects of divinity, in the Big Bang, poof, it all went out, and that's when this was created. And so we're all part of that one divine essence. But over here in the realm of the physical, it looks like you're over there and I'm over here. It looks like when you talk about the non-duality. It looks like I'm separate from you and you're separate from me. But really what it is, it's you and me and the space in between. Mm-hmm. Everything in according to God is called the triune truth, the three in one that is in everything. You have the the physical, the spiritual, the metaphysical, the here, the there, the space in between, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The three in one is found. There's so many of them. And so when we go back to the other side, through the doorway back to the other side, it's like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I get it. But so this is really illusory realm here, as the Toltecs taught. This is the dream. And it feels very real. We get caught up in the dream. We kind of, like Alice in Wonderland, go down the rabbit hole and we buy into appearances. But what is really true is that there's only one. And it even goes into there's no space, there's no time. There's only here and now.
Yeah.
So all these things are really hard for the mind to grasp. So we're invited to know that our soul knows everything that our soul knows everything God knows, because we are chips off the old block, if you will. Mm-hmm. So one of my prayers is thank you, God, for helping. By the way, every prayer starts with thank you.
Mm, that's lovely.
Thank you, God, for helping me see through the lens of my soul rather than the filters of my mind. Mm. Thank you for helping me see us all as one community, one family, one oversoul, if you will.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I love the idea of the infinity symbol on its side. We often talk about a Mobius strip in this church because it's
a what?
Do you know what a Mobius strip is?
No, you'll have to tell me later.
I'll tell you later. Yeah, yeah. But
what kind of lines we'll talk?
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, but it's in a Mobius strip. It's flipped a little bit, so there's no inside and there's no outside. So it's like the inner becomes the outer. But I love the idea that I'm over here on this side of the infinity symbol Mobius strip. And I think that somebody else is over there and that we're separate. And then I think that this over here is way separate because I can't see it. And that this is the illusion, but really it's the other way around.
Oh, and also if you envision the figure eight, here's the ends on either side, a circle around the whole thing because it's just one.
Yeah. Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. One more thing for Hugh because he didn't understand it.
Oh, there's nothing you have to do.
Yeah, no, and let me. I'll preface this because we want to keep it kind of, you know. So Annie said that to me on the phone. She said there's nothing you have to do. I heard there's nothing to do, and I'm like, yeah, but you just talked about making all these decisions. I mean, you have to make some decisions. And she's like, no, there's nothing you have to do. There's a big difference. Let us hear the big difference between that nothing to do and nothing you have to do.
Well, nothing you have to do simply means God puts no requirements on any of us, ever. We put requirements on ourselves all the time. And a lot of churches, my father's, for example, has a lot of requirements. But that's just something somebody made up a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they believe it because they've been taught it and they think it. Abraham Hicks says, a belief is just a thought. You keep thinking over and over and over. But in ultimate reality, God has no requirements of us or needs from us. And there's actually a book called The Communion from God that lists the 10 illusions of humans. Failure, need, requirement, judgment, condemnation, a lot of them. There's 10 of them. Superiority.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So nothing to do. I don't know what to say about that because I'm doing stuff all the time, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing stuff all the time. I'm doing stuff now. Yeah, no, but I think I understand what you're talking about. Let me paraphrase in a way that I understand, is that we make up a lot of stuff that we have to do to be better. You know, I'm currently teaching a class about it's Cynthia Bourgeau, The Wisdom Jesus, and it's about the kingdom of heaven. And there's this illusion that the kingdom of heaven is a destination journey where you get to go if you're good enough. If you've checked off all of your boxes, right? And what I think Annie and Neil Donald Walsh are saying is that there are no boxes to check off. Certainly, if we behave in certain ways, we'll experience certain consequences in our lives, but it's not like God is going to punish us. We just experience the consequences. So if I'm experiencing, say, scarcity, and I don't decide to give myself away, I don't decide to buy gas for somebody, I don't decide to love somebody close to me or distant from me or love my enemies or any of the things that the teachers have taught us to do, I'm going to experience consequences from that. But that's really just me getting in my own way. It has nothing to do with God saying, oh, that one, there's a demerit right over there,
yeah.
Right? That one just lost 10 points, right?
You know that expression, it's all good? That's what God says about everything we do.
It's all good.
It's all good. And I love this one thing that God said to Neil. If you could see, because Neil's really hard, has been really hard on himself. He said, if you could see you the way I see you, you'd smile a lot.
Aw, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. I love that.
Yeah.
Annie, what's the one thing you want us to know before we send you back to your piano?
God, I think you asked me this on the phone. I don't remember what I said.
What's the most important thing you've learned?
Well, the one that I keep using over and over, you talked about don't judge by appearances. I'm invited to see things that happen in my life that are unwelcome at the time as happening through me, for me, not to me. I'm invited to remember that I'm creating on the soul level, and the agenda of my soul may not be very clear to me. It's clear to my soul, but not clear to my mind. And so I'm invited to trust the process. When I did my first conversation with God, I got these answers. Just be happy. Be, in all caps. Just be happy. Trust the process. Go on faith. And so when hardships happen to us, and they do, things happen that we weren't expecting. Things didn't go the way we wanted them to. Let's just step back and step back and step back again and try to see it from the larger point of view that nothing's happening to me. My soul is calling forth a change that may feel unwelcome, but given the benefit of time, there's nothing that's ever happened to me that I haven't looked back and said, thank God that happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So experience will give us that. So if we can just trust when things seem to be going wrong that they're, oh, here's what Neil says. When things seem to be falling apart, consider the possibility that they may actually be falling into place mm-hmm. for the first time.
Beautiful, beautiful. That is a great place to stop. And I thank you so much for all of the wisdom that you shared with us. Yes.
I could talk about this stuff all day.
Well, we'll have you come back. We'll have you come back. Maybe teach one of your classes or something. That would be great.
I'd love to.
That sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
Let's give Annie lots of love.
Thank you for the reading.